You know, we've been having a series here in the last, few weeks. And it's a series where we've been talking about the Holy Spirit quite a bit, right? And I've been trying to prevail in this series about trusting in the Holy Spirit, listening to our Lord, being obedient in that, and being a part of that, and just hearing His voice. And knowing that He is going to carry you along. And today's no exception, except for the simple fact that Holy Spirit, He came to me last night and He says, I don't want you to go out and I don't want you to do your series. I want you to preach this. So I got up early this morning, came in the office. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to speak into what's been going on these last few days. Because... well, we're not gonna butter over things. We're not gonna, put on the rose-colored glasses. We're gonna speak into it because people are just going through rough things at the moment, and it's true. But we want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to be obedient to the letting the Holy Spirit lead. And the Holy Spirit, He does teach us. He does lead us, just like in Psalms chapter 32. And I want you to take out your Bibles because I asked Cody this morning not to put any of these up, because I want you to read it in Scripture this morning and be a part of that and knowing what's being said in Scripture. So if you would open to Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32, it talks about how we're supposed to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and how we're supposed to be a part of that. Chapter 32. I'll give you guys a second to get there if you're not there. But in verse 8, if you're in verse 8, go ahead and just start looking over that. And it says in there in verse 8 of chapter 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. This is about, that He's going to teach us and instruct us on the way to go. And the Holy Spirit comes in and does that, right? And leads us along the way. And here, this is not part of the message, but I'm trying to get you to understand of why I changed the message for this morning. And I guess I shouldn't even say why I changed the message, but why God changed the message and why I'm going to pay attention to what He's telling me to do and be obedient. That I can provide an example to those around me to say, if I'm going to come out here and sputter the words about how we're supposed to seek the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to desire Him, how we're supposed to lean on His understanding, how we're supposed to just follow Him, how we're supposed to just be obedient whenever He says something right away, I'm going to provide an example right now. I'm going to be an example, even though it scares me to do it. Because sometimes I come up here, it's like the words that I speak out, I always pray to the Lord, but I always have a chance to practice them. And I have no chance to practice this morning. And there's very few notes in there. But I'm going to be obedient in the fact that God has said, I want you to do this. We need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. And we need to be letting Him guide us, right? And we need to be that obedient. Because why? Because we are the children of God. Because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And if we don't follow what He's trying to tell us to do, can we really call ourselves the children of God and be a part of that and have that lovingness inside of us? And my answer to that for me would be, no, I can't. So I'm going to do it this morning, even though it makes me very nervous. With this in mind, would you please open your Bibles to Psalms 145. And it's something that Jess has touched upon already this morning, but it bears fortification. It bears reminding. It bears us just being told sometimes. Sometimes we already know the answer in things. We just like to be told that we know the answer. And this is a way of us being told that we know what's going on. And that we will know, that we know the simple fact. And we'll start reading here at verse 1, which says, I'll exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Our generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. I want you to take a look at that last verse. In verse 9 it says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Anybody wading through the waters of these last few days, it seems that we're missing God's compassion somewhere. We're missing what God is, his goodness and his glory upon all of his creation. We're missing that part because we're focusing on what's happening in the moment that we're not focusing on outside of that. I love the fact that even Jess talked about how she was in the midst of what she was doing. She's carrying out buckets. She's getting ready to water. She's focusing on God and what God's glory is in life. I found myself doing and trying to do the same thing as we're trying to get water out of the basement and the church is going on and stuff and the family's all coming together to be able to do these things. We're focusing on the goodness of God because God is good. Right? God is good. Not just once, not just twice, but God is good all the time. Even in the midst of what's happening outside in our houses, what's even maybe going on in our houses or whatever we have, our friends' houses, our family houses, right at this moment while we're sitting in here, God is still good. And we need to remember that and focus on that part. Because oftentimes we can focus on something so different. Even in the midst of turmoil, we focus on the negative things. I find myself doing it sometimes. I find myself going off on a tangent. I think about the rainwater, and then all of a sudden, yeah, the rain's going to end, but then it's going to be so humid. And then all the mosquitoes are going to come out, and all these other things are going to happen because of all the rain. I focus on the negative part. Instead of remembering that God is so good. And he loves us so much, even in the midst of all the stuff that goes on. And I'm not talking just about the rain. I'm talking about everything. He loves us. And he spends that time with us if we want to spend time with him because he has compassion on us. If you don't think the Lord has compassion on you, he sent his son for you. And because of that, we know that we can be carried through whatever comes along. Because in God, there is no darkness. Turn to 1 John, the book of 1 John, in chapter 1, verse 5. It even talks about how in him there is no darkness. That none of these things that happen in this earth that happens that we can say and blame on God that it happened because there's no darkness. There can be no darkness inside the light of our Lord and Savior, inside the light of our Heavenly Father. We take a look at that verse, 1 John chapter 1, and we look at that, and we read the words in there, and sometimes we think to ourselves, well, how can that truly be, considering some of the things that we need and we have to walk through? How can a God of such mercy and great and goodness allow this stuff to happen? I found myself thinking about that this morning. Of how can a God of such light and beauty allow these things to happen? And the old answers come back about, well, in there somewhere is a teaching. In there somewhere is something I need to learn. In there somewhere is something that he's trying to prepare us for and build us up. And it seems like those are recurring words that just placate, you know, that some would say it's just mind control. But anybody that truly knows the Lord, anybody that truly feels the love of Jesus in them knows that is not true. knows that He is building us up for a reason. And these things happen. He doesn't allow evil to encompass our lives without His love. But we focus on the evil instead of His love. We focus on the bad instead of the good. We focus on the darkness instead of His light. We focus on the things that we're not able to control. Our focus is where it shouldn't be. The world would tell us that we're being delusional because we look to the light in all things. But it's not delusion. It's hope. It's faith. It's the promise of a future. They look at the present now. They're not looking to the future. They're just focused on what they have now. We come together in the name of Jesus. We focus on the future and what the future holds for us because there's hope in the future. There's light in the darkness that surrounds us at the moment. And if we just want to take and we go over to the curtains of the windows of His majesty and the windows of His house and we throw back the curtains and stuff and let His light come in. Let it warm up the house. Let it brighten things up. So much that it's difficult to see His goodness. But it's there. It's been there the last few days. If you took the time to look around and think about what happened, you think about the goodness of God that was there. Did you see the goodness of God in these last few days? What did you see? What's the goodness of God that you actually saw? Somebody yell something out. Just tell me, what's the goodness that you saw in God? What's God's goodness that you saw in the last few days? Sun came out. Rainbows.
Electricity.
Some were without. It's back on. What else? One more time. Protection and chaos. Anybody else?
People coming together.
Strength. You know, I saw His protective hand. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. The train that derailed was full of grain and not hazardous materials. The water that did come recedes. And all those things, God's glory is there. If you want to take the time, if you want to slow down, if you want to pay attention to that, and not just to what's selfish in your nature that we look at. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about myself. That we slow down and we look at God, what God is truly doing in the moment. So often we become discouraged and we become dismayed. But the Lord talks in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, especially, which is a book that we don't often read because it's one of those books we just kind of glance over. But in Deuteronomy, is so full of light for people. Light of the Lord. Where it says in chapter 31, verse 8 in Deuteronomy, it says, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." But how often are we discouraged? How often are we afraid? We're discouraged by what happens around us. We maybe even get angry because of what everything's going on, because I have to suffer through these things. I have to do these things. That I have to suffer through this. I get discouraged. It's like, God, where are you in this moment in life? Where are you in the middle of the rain? I remember being down here in the middle of the church and I was trying to get things cleaned up and stuff. And that last day, and it was all of a sudden it was clear. The sun was looking like it peeking through. Next thing I know, it was raining outside. And I'm thinking to myself, where are you, Jesus? I've been praying these last few days. Where are you? Can you just make the rain stop for a little bit? You know what happened? The rain did not stop. In fact, it came even more. But you know what I found in that moment? I found Jesus. Because then I looked around at the bottom of the church, and it's like, boy, I remember being in here and vacuuming out 2 inches of water all throughout the bottom of this basement. Now there's just puddles that I had somebody at my house taking care of things, that I had church family, friends and family calling up and saying, hey, do you need anything? And the God, my God, your God, our God was telling me, says, I am here. My hand is on this. Don't worry. I've got it under control. And I found peace in that. I found something in that that allowed me to get through that. You know, Isaiah, in the middle of all he was doing in his life and his ministry and his, for God, he found himself in the midst of a lot of things. And he wrote about it in one of his, in Isaiah 41. He wrote about how he felt sometimes. And when he finally came through and he realized what was going on, he wrote this. He said, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He is there. He's providing strength. In the middle of all, in the middle of everything, even while we may be angry, while we may be discouraged, dismayed, or whatever state that you find yourself in, that God is there in the middle of it all, giving strength. God is in the middle of it all, where we can find peace. God is in the middle of it all, where we can find love. God is in the middle of all, where we can have hope. Hope in the midst of all that happens, of all that is occurring. God is in the middle of it all, providing what we need. And even though we have to go through, well, some things that we truly don't want to go through, God is good all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. And we have to think, and if you still have your books open to Isaiah, I want you to turn to chapter 55. Because it tells why God is good all the time. It tells why we need to rely upon Him. It tells why we need to concentrate on what He's doing. It tells why we don't understand what's going on sometimes. Because in the middle of all, we have to know for a fact that His ways, His thoughts, are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We do not know everything that's going on in the world like He does. I was looking at the waterfall that came along the way, and I was looking at some of it. It's like, I don't know how much we got here. We got probably a good 10 to 12 inches. There are some places that got 18 inches of water. I look at the other places that didn't get quite so much water, but they lived next to a creek or a river. But even in those places, nobody lost their life. Nobody got hurt. People were inconvenienced, but they're safe. That's what we need to remember when it comes to God. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His understanding is so much above our understanding. But His love is not for Himself. His love is for us. His compassion is for us. And because of that, He will protect us. And He will take care of us. All we have to do is trust Him. Worship Him and praise Him. And be about Him. In doing so, we will find a strength. We will find a peace. We will find a hope and a love in the midst of all the stuff that goes on. in the midst of turmoils of life, whether it ends today, whether it's ended already, whether it ends next week, you can still have that. And that can be a part of your life. The blessing of the Lord is there for you if you wish to receive it. And if we concentrate on His light instead of the darkness, we see the rainbows. We see the sunlight come out. We see His protection. We see all of that and so much more. But what do we need to do in the meantime? Well, we deal with what we deal with, right? We come together as a family, and we need to continue to come to around each other. In the middle of that, we help each other out. Just like those of you that came, you know, even to the church when I couldn't make it, you came to the church and you did what you could do. But even those that didn't, that weren't able to come to the church, it's like, I know your heart is in it. But you just have to deal with what you have to deal with in front of you at the moment. But if you're going to do that, make sure you have the Lord in your life and you're dealing with it with the Lord in your life. It will make it so much easier. We need to love on one another. We need to show compassion to each other still. And that's even outside the walls of this church where people in Rock Valley, if you're able to help out, help out. Come to the aid of people in Inwood, whatever it might be. I know your hearts. Your hearts are loving, they're kind, and they're compassionate. So we need to help out where we can. But we also need to be able to receive compassion. You know what? When somebody offers you help, maybe you should just say yes and receive it. We need to come together as a family, right? And we are. And we do. And we can be an example to others of just being part of such a tight-knit, loving family. And we can allow people to also help us, because when hurting people help, sometimes they feel a purpose. Sometimes they truly feel, and that helps them start the healing process. So we need to be open. We need to be open to the Lord. We need to remember His lightness. We need to remember His glory, His goodness. We need to remember the Lord in all His greatness. And in doing that, I want to come together this morning and I want to pray together. So I'm going to ask you, if you can, if you're able, to stand up and walk up here with me so we can just pray together as a family. And we can pray for the light of Jesus to be shown and felt in each and every person's life that is dealing with whatever issue they are dealing with right now, because there are so many people out there that are hurting. There are so many people out there that just need to see the light. So would you come up here and would you pray with me, please? As a family, we come together and we pray for the holiness of our Lord Jesus to be felt all over. I think I'm going to ask Jess to pray for us. Would you please?